The scripture for today in Mark chapter 7 begins with a parent, a mother, with her heart certainly breaking in many ways and filled with anguish. Those feelings are natural and perhaps familiar to many of us who've seen family members endure trials, perils that they didn't ask for, things that are larger than we as loved ones can help them overcome. And the mother's anguish certainly can be considered and put together with a word here that's captured by Mark that must be upon the hearts and minds of any of us when we face such challenges to family members. It just wasn't fair. Did you hear those words as Mark said them? He said there, he kind of snuck that word in, and it's easy for us to overlook its presence in the reading of the gospel. He uses it to speak of Jesus' pronouncement to her that we must act fairly. But the question must have been upon her heart, do you want to talk about fair? Consider what my daughter's going through. You want to say that the people of Israel must be first? If that's fair, well, what about me? What about mine? This is not fair. The questions, the family, the pleas of those of us when we find unfairness in our midst, afflicting those we love, and yes, let's be honest, sometimes we ourselves face it. It's the question of life, of family, of faith. What do we do? How do we react when life is not fair? You know, I find a prescription or a great example by the life of faith of the mother in our passage today. This text, in some ways, presents a lot of questions for us, right? We've heard these words, some of us, before, where Jesus proclaims to this woman. He says, well, we've got to let the children's food be given to the children and not to dogs. Oh, my goodness, he called this woman her child. He's made them symbolic of dogs that eat the scraps under the table. Wow, if I was a parent, I think I would have gone from being upset about unfairness to being flat out angry at that point, wouldn't you? But the mother, she responds as a wise, loving, nurturing mother does to unfairness. You know, one temptation for her would have been to just wallow in her defeat, to wallow in the unfairness of the world around her. To say, poor pitiful me, I don't deserve this. My child doesn't deserve this. God, you are not fair. Life is not fair. I'm just going to give up on life. I'm just going to lay in my bed. I'm going to kick out on this world because I'm never going to get ahead. It's not fair. Surely we all are faced with those temptations at times. It's easy to resonate with that type of response. To just give up on the unfairness of it all. But the mother, in our passage today, give to us what Jesus described, great faith. She becomes an example in the words of Jesus of how to respond to life when it's not fair. For family members and for us as His children. She doesn't wallow in the defeat. Do you see what happens? Instead of just being consumed with the unfairness, she goes and she does something. She gets out of herself, out of the problem, and goes to God. She heard that Jesus had come to the town. She heard that there was hope in the Lord. She knew that if she simply dwelt in the brokenness, that all she would ever see would be more brokenness. She turned her faith to someone stronger and bigger who could overcome the perils of life. And she went to Him. And even in His initial rejection, did you hear it? Even when He said, I first have to care for the children of Israel, she didn't let her faith wallow. She didn't face that simple initial rejection as a final verdict. No, she kept fighting and kept searching and kept hoping and kept believing. She's an example of faithfulness. How we respond to the challenges of life and family. Because sometimes life is unfair. Sometimes the hurdles we face in family, in work, in school, they are bigger than us. They are larger than we can control and we can respond to. We don't know how to get through, let's be honest. But when we surrender in the spirit of the faithfulness of the Syrophoenician woman, when we surrender and say, God, I don't know the answer. Have you ever been in that church? You know, I find myself so often professionally in my secular work at a dead end where I don't know the answer. I can't solve the dilemma. We certainly relate to that in our construction business. Leon, in our cable industry, we find those perils, those challenges with employees, our customers, or just challenges that we face daily, and we cry out, hopefully and prayerfully, God, I cannot fix this problem. I'm like the woman. I've run out of answers. I've tried to fix it on my own. What can I do? You know, that's a beautiful place to be, church. Because when we surrender, and when we say, yes, professionally, in our work, in our marriages, in our schools, when we say, God, it's bigger than me. Will you bring healing to my child? Will you bring hope to my family? Will you help me conquer the unfairness of it all? God delivers. He gives us the strength. He overcomes the perils of brokenness in this hard, harsh world in which we live. You know, I visited this past week with one of my family members. I went down Thursday and got to visit with Beth Lockhart. Some of you know Beth. She's the wife of Richie Lockhart. I'm going to try to explain all these family connections here. Richie is the brother of our very own Risa Elliott. So Beth is my first cousin. We visited this week. We have been praying for Beth, many of us here, and reaching out to that family. Richie's the pastor at Mount Zion Church in Faulkner. In fact, we're loaning our very own Grace Ann to them this morning. She is only on loan. She will be back. She's singing there today. Went down and visited with Beth, and she had a stroke recently, and many of us know. She was working in her garden on the morning she was found by her family, somewhat unconscious, in and out of consciousness, immobile, unable to get up, unable to speak and call out for help, lying in the place where she had gone to get restoration. You know, she found working in her garden to be therapeutic, as many of us do. We find that to restore meaning and joy to our life when we can take care of those flowers, create beauty out of the earth, man. And that's what Beth was doing. And the very place that she went seeking life, she almost quite literally found death. Beth had a choice. Life had become unfair to her as it is right now. It's unfair. She's a mother. She has children to take care of. Now she's been racked with a stroke. Her body is not able to move as it once could. Her speech has been delayed. It's so unfair. How is she going to get through it?
I went down this week to minister to her, and as often is the case in my pastoral role, I go to minister. I go to give. And I end up receiving and getting ministered to myself. I couldn't pray to God without Beth giving glory to God. I couldn't ask for His help and healing in her life without her already celebrating the help and healing that He has given to her even after this tragedy. Her constant mantra in response to that stroke has been this. Her constant statement as a gardener, Anne, has been this. She said, the only choice we have in life is this. Bloom wherever you're planted. Wow. She didn't choose the place. She didn't ask for the peril. But now that it's come, what are we going to do, church? Are we going to shrivel up? Are we going to wilt? Are we going to quit living and ultimately just die in the unfairness of it all? We in the spirit of my friend and cousin, are we in the spirit of the Syrophoenician women, are we as people of faith who trust in God who's stronger than us going to bloom right where we're planted? Friend, that's the hope that we have in God. That's the choice we have as people of faith, to not be conquered by this broken world. And you know the scripture transition, it makes an about-face change where Jesus not only shares in ministry today with the Syrophoenician woman, but He also reaches out to a man who couldn't speak. You know that's how the scripture describes it today? John records it. He said the man had an impediment, or in some verses, he was mute. He couldn't speak. They describe it, Mark does, that his problem is that he can't communicate. And that certainly must be what all around him thought. Oh, it's so sad. It's so unfair. He can't speak. He can't express himself. The problem is he can't be heard. He can't say what's on his mind. That's the problem. But you see how Jesus comes into the story? And He presents to us a solution to the real problem. The real problem, friends, for the man in our text wasn't that he couldn't speak. That was a symptom of a greater illness. The true illness wasn't that he couldn't speak. The heart of the problem was that he couldn't hear. You see, Jesus went to the root of the problem. See, I think that's a symbolic reminder to us that so often we in life, we in family, we get wrapped up in the symptoms. They're easy to see when so often there's a deeper problem. There's a root to our behavior, to the brokenness in our lives and family. And friends, that's where we find Jesus the Christ. Overcoming the true illness in our life and faith. You know, when we see family members, or we ourselves face addictions at times, whether it's an eating disorder, or one who abuses alcohol consumption, anything that has control of their life, so often that's simply a symptom, an outward sign of a deeper illness and brokenness in life. And that's where Jesus comes. That's where, if we will trust Him, He takes over
and sustains us and overcomes what we cannot overcome on our own. He came to the man in our text and he brought healing. And the man responded in faith. Did you hear that? It says, I love the way that Mark records it here. He says, immediately. The man didn't have to think about it. Immediately, upon receiving the gift of grace from God, he opened his mouth and he spoke. And I can't help but believe that in the spirit of my cousin Beth, the first thing he said must have been something like this. Boom. Wherever you're planted. Giving praise to God and glory to the one who can restore us, conquer the unfairness of life, and be for us the answer, church, to all of our questions, the balm and cure for all of our pain. Will you trust Him? Will you turn to Him? Will you walk with Him into glory? In Jesus we pray. Amen.